I'm here.
It's our old pal Jim Bryson. He's you're in Calgary today. Hey, Jim.
Calgary.
How are things in Calgary? We just got back from there. We came to the Calgary Folk Fest.
How was the Calgary Folk Fest?
It was unbelievable. We had a great time.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Mike over there doesn't remember, but
temporary amnesia.
We had a we had a real good time. We saw Lucinda Williams and Steve Earle and
Caitlin Carey
and all kinds of folks were there.
That was great.
But Jim Bryson wasn't there.
No, he's in Edmonton this weekend.
So I was just gonna. That's what I was leading up to. Jim Bryson is playing the Edmonton Folk Festival this weekend. That's a pretty prestigious gig, sir.
I'm very, very excited.
Have you done many folk festivals before?
Yeah, I've done a number of them. I did the Stan Rogers one in Canso last month. I've done the Ottawa Folk Festival, what is that one in Guelph called again?
Hillside. Yeah, it's a great festival. It's just on.
I just did the little Perth, Stewart Park Folk Festival outside of Ottawa. I've done a number of them. I like them.
Now, do you normally just play by yourself, or do you take a band to these things?
It depends on money. Mostly now, for as much as I can, I'm going to play solo. It's just plum easier.
Yeah. Now, the reason I ask is your latest record, especially the Northside Benches, which is our favorite record of last year by far.
Oh, thanks.
Was the best thing about that record for me, anyway, was the way you layered the music and created such a great soundscape to go along with the words, and we've talked about that before. But how do you take that then and play that in a solo lo-fi mode at a folk festival, and how do things sort of go over for
quietly?
You? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think that most of the songs on the record lend themselves to being played in a number of configurations. So
right.
Most of them are written. I mean, they were written on acoustic instruments for the most part.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that they had a lot of their life before they were recorded that way. So I was sort of adjusted to that.
Right. So you normally start out playing acoustic guitar, and that's how your songs come to you, or?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any rules. I think with people that work on songs, I don't think there's rules. You just kind of, if something works, it works. I mean, whether it's acoustic guitar, piano, or electric guitar, or whatever it is, you know, organ, whatever happens to work at the time.
Right. Now, like I say, a lot of it seems to me on this one, you spent a lot more time sort of layering things and building up the sound.
Yeah, having fun recording. Yeah,
now,
it was fun to do.
Did you sort of hear them in your head that way, or do they grow into that in the studio?
I think there are cases where I have certain types of ideas.
Yeah.
That I'd like to try, and then some of the sounds are just sort of happenstance.
Right. So I guess that record, it's been out for quite a while now. I mean, records sort of in the industry have a life cycle. That one's sort of nearing the end of its cycle, would you say?
I think it neared the end about 2 weeks after it came out. No,
but I mean,
I'm not sure how it works, but I mean, I always find with records you put out yourself, they seem to carry a longer life in a way, because sometimes you're spending time getting distribution and stuff like that, and then when you put a record out on a label, well, if it goes by the conventions of the record industry, most records are made or dropped in a month.
Right.
So it hasn't been dropped. So, but it's certainly not. I mean, I'm not going to fill people's heads with this belief that it's this runaway success.
But it's a crying shame that it's not.
I mean, I just think I'll make another record. I mean, I don't know how it works. I mean,
are you in the process of making another record right now, or getting material ready for another record?
I mean, I think it's always a process of, I don't sit down specifically and say, okay, I need to have 10 songs by Christmas or anything.
Right.
I just sort of, I work at a pace that is I don't know. I try not to think about song. I think I feel like I'm being a bit of, I don't know if it's song karma or whatever, but I always feel bad when I come up with a song that I like and say, oh, that's going to be a good song to record. Because I think like the purpose of music shouldn't necessarily be for how you're going to make it a consumable product, like, oh, I can't wait to play that live, oh, I can't wait to put that on a record. I always feel guilty when I think that, but you can't help but think when you play a song you like when you're at home that you're excited to play it with other people or play it in a show or whatever.
Right.
Do that kind of thing.
Right.
But there's been new songs. I mean, really, it's hard to say because I haven't been... There's a couple of them we've been playing off and on, but it's been more of a... when you don't have anyone to play them for, you kind of lose perspective of what is actually good and what isn't,
uh-huh.
I guess.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess that's it.
You're coming to play the most honest audience in the world. You're playing the Studome on Monday.
Yeah.
And so we'll tell you how it is, Jim.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. We'll be honest with you. Are you going to play us some new songs?
Well, maybe a couple.
Well, we hope to hear that. And then you're opening on Tuesday for the Handsome Family. That's got to be a fun gig.
Well, that sort of resulted in I had emailed Stu about a show.
Yes.
Or maybe it was yourself.
Well, yeah, you asked me first, and then I passed you along to Stu.
And then one of you guys said, it's a shame the Handsome Family's playing in town, and I immediately called the person who books shows for me and said, hey, maybe you can get me on that Handsome Family show if there isn't an opener, because then, you know, it's not that much more on my flight home and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah.
Although I have no idea where I'm staying or how I'm getting around or even where anything is in town, but... I've got till Monday to figure that out.
So I guess the next is coming up. I don't like sleeping in Winnipeg.
No. No, the John Sampson already wrote the Winnipeg song for this.
Oh, that's
this
right,
decade.
That's true. You you've done a lot of touring. John K. Sampson, of course, of the Weekend Ends. You've done a lot of touring and work with those fine boys.
Well, I did one complete trip, and then I get to see them. I played a lot of shows with them in Toronto and prior to touring with them.
Yeah.
But I did that Western Canadian tour, and then they were just in Ottawa, so when they come to parts that we know, I go and see them and talk to them, and they're just such wonderful guys.
Now I got to be thinking,
you're lucky to have them.
No,
yes,
well,
we are.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's a great band.
They're Winnipeg treasures for sure. But when you go on tour with a band like that, how much of that does trickle down to you? Like did you find that you made a lot of new sort of Jim Bryson fans on a tour like that? Is there people that made a real connection with you as a result of that tour directly? Or
I think there were things that worked. I mean, it certainly wasn't a thing where you played and then the next time I came back, 500 people came out
right.
that were at their show. But I definitely think there were some. Sort of good folks met and, you know, emails exchanged and people coming out to other shows and saying, I saw you with this. And I think some of the all ages crowd didn't like us whatsoever.
Oh, really? They were there for the more punk stuff?
Well,
maybe if you'd done some Punch Buggy songs,
like,
that would have been?
It kind of worked and it kind of, like, there were nights because the Fembots played as well and they're more outside than we are, and there were nights where we could tell that it was working better for them and working better for us. But I think that the Edmonton show was just such a weird, or the Winnipeg show we didn't do.
No, you weren't.
Calgary show was great. Edmonton was in a really, really big hall, so it was a bit of a weird, an odd one, but many of them were great.
Yeah.
So.
Now, is that something you'd like to do more of, is opening for people and touring that way, or...
I find opening far less stressful than wondering if people are going to show up or not.
Yeah,
and, I mean, my ideal setup is sort of a grassroots kind of thing that you work from, where you have a small following in a town, and that, you know, if you play a room that holds 50 and 40 show up, maybe the next time you play, maybe the next time 50 show up. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I just. It's just, sometimes it's weird, like you go on tour and then you come back to a place and you play, maybe it's midweek or maybe it's for whatever reasons and there's not a lot of people there, and sometimes it's mysterious.
Yeah.
I have to admit it's a bit mind-boggling to play a really good show and then come back and it hasn't translated into stuff, but
right.
I mean, I'm someone who thinks a lot about stuff, so,
right.
I mean... Like, even tonight in Calgary, we have no idea. It's a new club, and we don't know who's coming out of anyone.
Hmm.
You know, and if no one comes out, then it'll be like, well, that's a bummer, because the last show was really good. But I don't think a lot of people quite know about this club yet, but I think there's sort of a good handful of folks that normally come out. I know some that are coming out. So,
which club is it, Jim?
It's a new place called the Broken City.
I've never heard of that. What part of town is that in?
What's that?
What part of town is that in?
Downtown.
Oh, okay.
Now, downtown.
Jim, you've been playing for a while. We sort of mentioned you were in Punch Buggy for a number of years, and then now you've got
only two years.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No.
You had like three records in 2 years?
Well, I didn't play on all. I played on four songs on the first record, and I played on the second record, and I never played on anything after that.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's
funny. I joined in 94, and I left. I quit in 96 and played one show as a favor in 97.
So, and then you went on and did, you've got two of your own records now. Are you sort of happy with how far you've come in those years? Or do you ever still get frustrated with, shows where people don't show up?
Well, I don't think you ever are not frustrated when no one shows up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's sort of a moving target, right? How things work. I mean, I'm still not in a situation where I can travel across Canada and you know, it's and be able to play in every place, you know, and have a good following. But I think it's a work in progress always, you know. You take the good out of what's going on and try to be frustrated less and less about it. And sometimes I get frustrated, though. I mean, to be completely honest.
Is it to the point there where you can almost make a living full-time in the music industry, or you still have to work elsewhere?
Well, I haven't been working for the last year. I've been playing music only, and it's so far I've been paying the rent somehow here and there. So you get, when things get bleak, all of a sudden something comes out. You know, it works itself out, and I have very modest goals with it. So, I mean, paying the rent is the main one, I guess, if I'm not going to have a job.
Yeah,
I still will do, you know. I like going and working and doing stuff like that too, so I'm sure I'll do lots of that in the future too.
Right. Is there obviously I would think that eventually you would like to get to a bigger level and have more people hear your stuff. What kind of things, I mean, can you do, can we do to get you to get more people out or to get people paying attention? Is it a fact that your music just doesn't fit on the radio? Is radio that important? Like
I did a video with Jim Cuddy in it.
Right.
That's apparently been added in rotation to CMT in the last 2 weeks. Now, whether that'll do anything or not is time will tell. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what happens. I guess you play shows, and if people come out and the people have you back, then it's working. And if they say, oh, you can't come back here, then it's not working.
Right.
I mean, I don't have the magic secret to what would make it work really good or what would make it.
Obviously not, or you would have done it, right?
What's that?
Obviously not, or you would have done it by now.
Well,
I mean,
I'm such a dumbass, I probably would have forgot to do it. No. But, I mean, I don't know. I think it's been, it's particularly, I mean, for me, playing in Calgary and Edmonton are two places that are sort of starting to work.
Yeah.
And Winnipeg, if I could play there more, I think would be definitely a place where I feel a good thing going on. And
yeah.
I've had good shows in Vancouver and Victoria, and then there's Ontario, and I guess it's sort of starting to come together.
Well, we hope so. We hope so. Now, you mentioned the video for Somewhere Else, right?
Yeah.
Is there a way that folks like me who don't want to sit and watch CMT can ever see this thing?
Yeah, it's going to go up on Umbrella TV, that Umbrella.com website.
Yeah.
It's going to go up on their website in early September.
That's very nice. That'll be a good spot for that. You'll have to let us know about that.
Yeah.
Are you doing any more hired gun work or working with anybody else coming up soon that you know of?
I think I'll play on Kate Mackey's second record. She asked me to do that.
That'd be very nice. You added some nice stuff to her first record. Her first record is great.
Oh, yeah. I like it a lot, too.
Yeah. When's she doing that? That soon?
I think at the turn of the summer to the fall.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a lot. I did play on one song on Kathleen's new record that's not out till next year.
Uh-huh.
so I haven't heard it since I played on it, but I guess it's good they didn't drop it, so they mixed me out of it. That would be the smart thing to do. I don't know. I guess it's sort of, I end up playing on stuff. People give me calls out of the blue sometimes. Go play on it. Good time.
There was a little bit of buzz there, like around the Pure Music thing and everything like that. Are you starting to catch on at all in the States at all? Have there been any...
Pure Music?
Yeah.
You were reviewed on that that website, puremusic.com. And,
well, Miles of Music said it was in the top, their top sales for 1 month, I guess, after... Because I had an article in No Depression, but no, yeah. I can't for the life of me get anyone to put my record out and put records out in the States or give me any shows. So
really?
I don't know. It's a mystery to me.
Yeah.
I guess that sort of is a I don't know about a focus, but an idea, a concept to start playing in the States more. I guess it's... I mean, it's not a very good time to be putting out music. People aren't buying it. They're taking it for free, so... So I guess labels aren't signing all that many people.
Well, there's those of us out here that are still supporting you and still buying stuff from you, Jim.
For
So keep doing it for us, at least.
I will.
One more thing I got to ask. I heard the bad news. I heard there was a bit of a death in the family.
No, it's back.
Your scooter's back?
Oh, it's not a death. It just went down.
Oh. See, Terry here was thinking of buying a scooter, so...
I sent it to a mechanic. It was down on last Thursday.
Yeah.
And I got word yesterday it's running again.
Is this how all the cool rock stars are traveling now, Jim, by scooter?
Probably not on the type of scooter I have. I paid $200 for it, but maybe they are. It's not much for getting to shows.
No.
It only does 60 kilometers an hour, but it sure is a hell of a way to spend the days when you're at home in the summer when you don't work.
And you look just so cool riding it, I bet.
I don't know if I do, but I have a good time riding it. Can you ride it up the parkway?
Can you put a Northside Benches bumper sticker on it or something so that people...
I probably wouldn't do that, but there's lots of room for them. I have a CKCU 93.1 FM sticker on it.
Very nice. We'll get you a 101.5 UMFM sticker to add to that collection.
I'd love
if you
one.
Like.
That'd be great.
We have some. We'll bring them on Monday when you play at the Stew Dome. And folks want tickets to that, they can phone us up here at the station or give us an email, and we'll give them all the details. Or Tuesday night at the Weston Culture Center, opening up for the Hanson family.
That's going to be a good one, too.
Jim Bryson, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. It's always
fun.
Thanks
very much.
And we're going to play something off the Northside Benches. Do you have a request?
The Lost Occasional.
The Lost Occasional. Why do you say that one?
I don't know. I like how it sounds.
Well, so do we, and so does Mike, and he's going to dial it up there right now. Sorry, I threw Mike for a loop there. He's sitting in the controller's chair, and now he's got it queued up there. Here it is, the Lost Occasionals. Jim Bryson from the great Northside Benches record. Thanks for being on the show again, Jim.
No problem.
We'll talk
anytime.
To you soon. All right, take it easy.
Thanks,
Jim. Okay, bye-bye.
Different times and different weeks.